The passage I'm reading is just a little section of the whole story, and so if you read the beginning of Matthew chapter 15, you see that Jesus has been reprimanded by the religious leaders because he didn't wash his hands. And I thought, well, that's kind of appropriate. He wasn't following the protocol of the religious system of that day, which required that before you eat, you're supposed to wash your hands. And it was not only tradition, but it was passed down from Moses in the Old Testament law. And so the Pharisees were upset. He was teaching his disciples to do something that was against the law. And Jesus spoke back and he reprimanded the Pharisees because somehow they were following traditions, but they weren't really honoring God with their hearts. And so I'm reading verses 17 through 20 as Jesus' explanation of his rebuke of the Pharisees. And he says, "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach, and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean." We live in a world that's often seeing Christianity as a system of don'ts. Don't drink, don't smoke, don't cuss, don't gossip, don't tell dirty jokes, all kinds of things that you're not supposed to do. And almost like the church is a restrictive kind of thing to keep people from having fun. And so maybe you're also not supposed to laugh. Don't have fun. Don't eat the wrong food. There was a story of a little toddler who was in church one Sunday and he was turned around facing the wrong way and somehow interacting with the people behind them, and he started to grin and giggle, and about that time his mother gave him a little slap on the rear end and turned him around and said, "You need to sit here and worship and stop grinning." As if somehow the seriousness of church is more appropriate to God. I think we get a wrong impression of church sometimes because somehow Jesus is reacting to the don'ts of religious life in his day. And Jesus says that the heart is the seat or the basis for actions, not the rules and the do's and the don'ts. The inside of us is the important piece. The things that come out of us reflect who we really are, what's inside of us. And so the question, what comes out of my mouth? What comes out of you? If your speech and your actions and your lifestyle are vulgar or immoral or evil or harmful, then what's in there? What is in my heart? What is in your heart? What's down in there? I had a conversation with a woman who had been taking care of an elderly man who had passed away. He had been a longtime church member, so the newspaper said, but she commented, "I never really heard him talk about God. I never heard him mention the name of Jesus." And the question was, did he really have a relationship with Christ or not? If Jesus and positive and love for Christ don't ever come out, then is he down in there? Do you mention Jesus in your conversations? If someone examined your speech or your heart, would they find him there? One of our church's mottos is to be a church with a heart for Jesus. And our goal is to be that, to be a church whose heart exemplifies Jesus. But without people whose hearts are sold out to Jesus, it's just a motto. If our church is all about social service, all about doing things for our community and for other people and helping the poor and all of those kind of things, those, they're good things, but if they don't come out of a heart that loves Jesus, then it's all just social service. The church needs to be filled with people for whom Jesus is Lord. And there's only one throne in every person's heart. And on that spiritual throne, either Jesus is there or we are there. Self is there. Jesus won't share the throne with us. Either we give our heart to Him and live for Him, or we live for ourselves. We live in a world that sees the church as sometimes hypocritical, but the world itself says one thing and does another. They claim to be righteous, or they claim to be caring about people. They claim to want to serve you or do this, but so often it's to gain some money or to make a sale. We often hear people saying one thing and doing another, and church is often that, we're often guilty of that. And so Jesus' words, what comes out of our hearts? I maybe you've heard the story of the man. He went to the doctor. He had an exam, and after the appointment was almost over, the doctor said, "Do you have any other questions?" And he says, "Well, doctor, I do have one other question. My wife is kind of getting hard of hearing, and I'm not exactly sure how to approach the subject with her. And do you have any ideas? How can I help her get the idea that she's hard of hearing?" Well, the doctor said, "Well, if you come home and you open the door a little bit and you talk into the door, you say, 'Honey, I'm home. What's for dinner?' And if you don't hear anything, then you walk into the kitchen and you say, 'Honey, I'm home. What's for dinner?' And if she still doesn't answer, you get up behind her a couple feet and you say, 'Honey, I'm home. What's for dinner?' If you still don't hear anything, then you get in her face and you say, 'Honey, I'm home. What's for dinner?'" Well, he thought that was a good idea. He'd try that. And so that week when he got home from work, he opened the door and he spoke in the house, "Honey, I'm home. What's for dinner?" And he didn't hear anything, and so walked into the kitchen and said the same thing, and finally up right behind her, "Honey, I'm home. What's for dinner?" Still nothing. And so he got in front of her and he looked her in the eye. She said, "Honey, I'm home. What's for dinner?" And she said, "I've answered you four times. We're having spaghetti." And maybe sometimes the person who's hard of hearing is really me, instead of society or those other people. I believe that sometimes the point of the Scriptures and the point of Jesus is examine my own heart and my own hypocrisy. And how about you? Do you have a heart for Jesus? Is He Lord down deep inside? Is He coming out in your speech and your actions and your words? I heard of a newspaper article, and the town had been hit with a tornado. Actually, the newspaper article said that the Methodist church was destroyed by the tornado, but the town wasn't hurt. And I think if the church is destroyed but the town isn't hurt, then something's wrong. Because if a church is taken away from the community, there ought to be a whole lot of hurt. And I believe there is, because we're part of giving our community that heart for Jesus. Psalm 19, the end of the last verse says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." And Psalm 139, at the end, the last verse says, "Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Jesus said, out of the heart come those unclean thoughts, those evil words, those thoughts of murder and adultery and slander and sexual immorality, and the words that are hurtful and offensive and sometimes prejudicial. Sometimes we speak out of a heart that really is insensitive. Are there any of those in your heart? We live in a world that's busy. And one of the evil one, one of Satan's best tools is to keep us so busy that we don't have time to stop and think and to listen to what we're saying and what we're thinking. No time to pray and connect with the Lord and to listen to what the Holy Spirit might say to us. And to hear God's voice, usually it takes some quiet, some silence, because more often than not, in my experience, God's spoken in that still, small way rather than a loud, thunderous kind of message. More often than not, I hear that in a thought, or I hear that in a word of inspiration or a scripture that I've read and I've taken time to think about and pray about. And somehow, if we stay busy, then we don't have time to hear our soul speak to us saying, "Stop. What did you just say? How did that come out? Did you really mean it that way?" And sometimes if we listen, we can go back and say to our friend or that person, "I'm sorry, that didn't come out the way it should have. I didn't say what I really meant. I spoke in a way that was offensive, and I apologize." And somehow as Christians, we're not perfect, but we want to honor the Lord. I heard of an incident where there was a motorhome driving down the highway and it was pulling a car behind it. And the car had come loose from the hitch in such a way that the car was tilted and the back end of the car was dragging on the pavement, and sparks were flying out of the back of that car, and the driver of the motorhome was oblivious to the fire that was in the car behind him. And sometimes it reminds us of how we go down the highway of life so fast that maybe our life is about to explode and we don't even realize it. The world is filled with people who need to hear a message of Jesus' love, who need to hear of a Savior who died on the cross for their sins. The world needs a person who will say, "I love you and I'll pray for you. I care about how you feel. You're important to us." And so sometimes we get to a place like coronavirus and our lives are shut down and things are called to a halt and maybe a week where there's nothing in the bulletin. It's a good time just to stop and say, "Lord, teach me. Search me and know my heart, and try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." So I want to challenge you this week. Do some soul searching. Take some time to be still and listen to the voice of God. Is Jesus Lord? Then make what's coming out come from a heart that loves the Lord. Make room for him. And if there are repairs that need to be done, if there are words that need to be spoken in apology or maybe in changing, learning to say positive and good and helpful and wholesome instead of critical and negative, then we have a chance to practice that and do that. I believe when Jesus is Lord, he changes our hearts and he makes us brand new, and he makes us to say things and do things that are different. And so our lives as Christians are not just a system of do's and don'ts, but more a system of sharing the love of Christ. And the church is not a church because we follow the rules, but because Jesus is Lord. And we're not here because we're a bunch of saints that want to show everybody how to live, but we're sinners who are saved by God's grace, and we simply come because we know we need His love and forgiveness. Do you have a heart for Jesus? Then our job is to share that and to show that and to make Him Lord for us as well. Let's pray together, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for the opportunity to worship together today. And I thank You that when You come into our life, when You come into our heart, You change us from the inside out. And Lord, even as we profess to be Christians, too often that which comes out is not pleasing to You and not what we should have said or what we should have done. Lord, help us to be able to hear and to notice when our things that we say and do are displeasing to You. We want to honor You, Lord, and we want to love You. We want to be Your ambassadors. We want to represent You in a way that makes a difference in the lives of others. So teach us, Lord, and show us and help us to have eyes and ears to see and hear. We love You, Lord, and we thank You that You come into our lives and make us new. Please do that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.